2018 election. They are Jane Brewer Barbian, District Number 5, Julie McKenna, District Number 4, and John Heckenlively, District Number 6. Ms. McKenna and Mr. Heckenlively are incumbents, and Ms. Barbian seeks to replace Steve Hooper on the board. All three candidates are for three-year terms. Welcome to all three of you this morning. And before we get started, I want to thank each of you for making yourselves available to sit on Racine Unified's nine-member school board. As a former Racine Unified school board member, I have a real sense of the commitment each of you is making as a school board member. To you listeners, let me get you started on locating your district as well. Go to the Racine Unified website, www.rusd.org/district/election. Click on election information /Racine Unified School District and click here to find your ward and click on where do I vote by providing your street address and Racine and zip code. I'll repeat that again at the end because it's a bit complex, okay? So before we get started with the questions, would each of you briefly describe your district geographically? And we'll start with Ms. McKenna first. Just describe your district number 4.
Thank you, Duane, and thank you, WGTD. My district 4 includes 5 wards in Racine, wards 27 through 31, and 3 wards in Mount Pleasant, 3 to 5. The neighborhoods include the neighborhoods around Ascension All Saints, West Racine, and east of Mount Pleasant.
Okay, thank you, Julie, for that. And I am a member, I am in one of the wards in your district, so you are my candidate for a school board at this election. Okay, number 2, Ms. Barbian.
I am in District 5, and I had to do a quick research on District 5 myself when I decided to run for the school board. And it is a little bit confusing. It is a mix of Mount Pleasant and Caledonia. It runs as far east as Highway 31. Far north is 4 Mile, except for one large piece. As far west is I-94. And then it is Spring Street, but it also reaches out a little bit to Highway 20. So it's kind of a large, encompassing area.
Okay. And then the district number 6, Mr. Heckenlively.
Yeah. My district is basically River North. Goes as far north as English and west to King Street. And then I have downtown, basically 11th and 12th Street is basically the south boundary of the district. And then I go as far west as about Park High School.
Okay. Thanks to all three of you then for describing your districts for us so that our listeners then have some sense then for who they will be voting for in the upcoming election. Only those districts, 4, 5, and 6, will be voting. The other 6 districts that are in Racine Unified, their candidates will be up in the next 2 years. Okay, now for opening statements. Each candidate will have up to 2 minutes for an opening statement and 1 minute for a closing statement. And in the remainder of the program, we will discuss a variety of questions and issues which I've submitted to the candidates as well as any other issues that happen to arise in our conversation today. The nice thing about interviewing these candidates now or in this year is they're not competing against one another, and none of them has any opposition. So this can be a very friendly discussion in terms of the issues, and people can disagree with one another without having it affect the election, I guess. Okay, opening statements. Ms. Barbian, I guess you're number 1.
Thank you, Duane. It's a pleasure to be here, and I thank you for this opportunity. When I first decided to run for school board, I heard Steve Hooper was leaving. I was disappointed to hear that. He had done a nice job for the district. But I had always been interested in running for school board, and I guess there's multiple reasons. One, I've been a lifelong resident of Racine. Besides the time I was away in college, I've always lived here. I spent my married life here. I've raised my children here. was a RUSD student myself.
Yes.
One of the schools I went to was Wind Point, and I'm kind of sorry and sad to hear that Wind Point is closing. I was one of those people that tried, or kids that tried to pick the marbles out of the wall, and those of you that know Wind Point will remember the marbles that were embedded in the brick wall. And I believe when I was at Wind Point, that was when the first female principal was hired for Racine
Unified.
So that
was a step in the right direction then in terms of
It didn't
women.
Seem like a big deal to me, but at the time, I guess it was. I remember it was in the paper. My children have all attended Racine Unified Schools, Gifford, Gilmore, and Case. I spent 38 years as an educator. I invested my career in Racine Unified. I spent my time as a teacher in multiple of our schools. But I also worked at support staff out of ASC, helping and supporting teacher instruction. I kind of got to understand a little bit of the, excuse me, the works of ASC and how that operates. I'd like to offer my expertise, my voice, and hope I can provide some help with the school board in this very challenging role of providing quality education for our children. One of the things I chose to do as a school board member, and I hope that everyone agrees with me, is working as a team. One of our past superintendents, and I think since I was at Unified, I must have worked under 8 or 9 superintendents. One of our past superintendents talked about the importance of the team, the community, the administration, the teachers, the parents, the students, all working together to form the district, to be the place that we wanted to be, something we would be proud of as a community, something that would provide everything we needed for our children, and something that the community would cherish. So that's pretty much why I chose to see and lend my voice to the school board, see what I can do and see how I can help.
Thank you so much, Jane, for that opening statement. Now we move to Mr. Heckenlively for his opening statement, and John represents District Number 6. John?
Yeah, well, thank you, Duane, for inviting me on the show. Remember, it was interesting last time we did this. Of course, we had a contest then. I guess I'll start off thanking the people of the district who signed my nomination papers. That was an interesting experience, and met all sorts of good people out there doing that. And in terms of most of the rest, I mean, I've been on the board 2 years. I think one of the things I'm proudest of is I've always tried to be an advocate for working people on the board. Is we've had some fairly contentious fights, especially over the handbook, and I have been proud to say that I've tried to be on the side of working people as a board member. And as to the rest, I think, you know, we can discuss that as the questions go along.
Okay. Thanks to all three of you, then, for your opening statements.
Oh,
let us... Oh, Julie, I'm sorry. Okay. You got to keep me awake here.
Okay. Thank you, Duane, and thank you, WGT, for this opportunity for us to discuss the issues regarding the Racine Unified School Board election, a board election this April 3rd. I am running for re-election in District 4, and I believe in students must succeed. I believe in student achievement. I believe in keeping the students safe, and I believe giving students skills and tools to succeed in the future.
Okay, thank you to all three of you then for your opening statements. Let's move on then to the substance of our discussion today and the questions. And we'll start out with the first question that I posed. Since this new approach has been in force for 3 years for electing school board members, what do you think of the current approach to electing these members by district? Are fewer people running for school board? That's kind of been one of my perceptions. And is there no competition for positions on the school board? And John, I guess we'll ask you to start us off.
Sure. Well, yeah, I can just address the mechanics. It's been, you're right, technically it would be 3 elections because 2016 was the first time we did this. As to just the basics of your question, the answer is obviously yes. Is last year we didn't have any contested elections. This year we do not have any contested elections. And I don't know whether that's a matter of everyone thinks we're doing such a bang-up job or whether people simply have no interest in serving on the Board of Elections. But as it is, we do not have a contested election, which, you know, I'm not complaining, as obviously it makes
because
my life,
it's a lot easier as a candidate.
It makes life easier as a candidate. As to whether it's one plus I can see about it, one change I think that is good is that because you're dealing with a much more compact geographic area,
yes,
is it allows you to actually go out and when you are campaigning is do a lot more retail campaigning, is a lot more face-to-face interaction. I mean, Julie has been on the board a long time. You know, is when you represented pretty much the whole county or a good chunk of the county. It's very tough to go out and hit 20,000 doors. Whereas in these individual districts, is you might have a few thousand. And so that actually makes it where you actually have the opportunity to go out and talk to voters face-to-face.
Okay, one of the things I kind of chuckle about is Jim Ennis wanted to have districts when he was executive director of REA because that would make it easier then for the teachers' union than to campaign for particular candidates and that sort of thing. So this is kind of interesting that what the state legislature did for Racine Unified, then it really kind of falls right into what Jim Ennis was interested in. Julie, your response to this issue.
I was saddened to go to the district. The biggest loss that I feel in that is that the community can only vote for one person on the board. When we were at members of large, they got to vote each year. They got to vote for each school board member on the board.
Yes.
And then also the loss of that they're only being engaged once every 3 years versus every year. I thank you for having the conversation today because when the elections are not contested, you don't have an opponent. Even the paper, we have no interviews. The ones discussing the issues in Racine Unified, and there's pluses and the minuses of that. We don't get bashed every year, but the minus is that people have lost an opportunity to be more involved.
Okay.
And but the plus side of having the district is I would have to say I've gotten to know my neighbors a lot more.
Sure. Okay.
And so that's been interesting to reach out more to the neighbors around me, but. Other than that, I feel it's a loss when you don't represent the whole area, and it's a loss so that people don't get to decide once every 3 years.
And the rationale by the state legislature in doing this was that the school board wasn't representative of the whole community, and ironically, it seemed to be much more representative or was pretty representative at that particular time. I think that was part of their rationale. Jane, your answer to this.
Well, as a new person running for the school board, I can just attest to what I had to go through. I had actually a friend contact me and said, did you hear Steve Hooper is not running for school board again? Would you be interested? I think you'd be good at it. And I was very interested. But I hadn't heard that Steve Hooper was not going to go again. Steve Hooper was a great guy, and I was very happy with the time he spent representing District 5. So I had 2 days to collect my signatures and get them into Unified. And I had to go onto the website, as you were talking about earlier. I had to find out what I needed to do, how many signatures I needed. And I had to go out and collect signatures. And I think if you remember, everybody, back in December, it was very, very cold. It was below zero. And my husband and I, who, bless his heart, was out there with me, we went up and down the streets and met our neighbors and collected signatures, and fortunately I was able to gather enough in a couple of days to put my hat in the ring. So I think that's one thing that we need to take a look at. I think it's that communication piece, that these positions are open. And everyone I spoke to had very strong opinions on Unified. They seemed to have a lot of things they needed from the district. And that concerns me as someone who's running for school board. How can we get people to take that next step and volunteer to go on school board? You have strong opinions. You have you want Unified to be better or succeed. Help us get that project started. Help us get it going. Add your voice to ours and throw your hat in the ring as well. It's not difficult to get those signatures.
And you're talking about good citizenship. And yes, as a former social studies teacher, that's what social studies teachers are really concerned about is that when we educate people to be good citizens, and what you're saying is good citizens then have to express themselves and also sometimes run for
exactly. We boards. Can't just sit back and complain and whine. We need to get involved.
Exactly. Okay, let's move on then to the next question. Was how's the district doing and what's ahead as far as the district is concerned? And I think, Julie, we'll start with you.
District is doing a lot of exciting things. The academies and the high schools has been very, the last 2 years, has been very exciting. My school, my choice, is offering a lot more opportunities. And I know they're looking at the elementary schools to reorganize them as well. There's a lot of exciting things, and the big transition now from Dr. Haas going to Dr. Gallion. So I've been amazed with all the things that their students are getting exposed to that they've never been exposed to before. I don't know if you wanted me to go on that or not, if there's another question down that line. But we had an opportunity, I'll just give you one. We had an opportunity to visit the real school, the IMET Center.
Okay.
And the real school students get to spend at least almost a half of their day taking classes at the IMET Center with Gateway, learning engineering classes. It was very inspiring.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, let's see. So, Julie, then we move on to Jane and that question then about, so how's the district doing and what's ahead?
That's a difficult question for me. I have been retired for 2 years now. But before I did retire, I spent a lot of time in the different elementary schools. I'm excited to hear about the new reading and writing curriculum in the elementary. I'm excited to hear and see how the new fine arts K through 8 school is going to go. That's something new. I want to find out more about how we can make Unified the attractive place to educate children like I chose, and see if we can add some stability as far as administration in the buildings. We've had quite a few turnarounds lately. Let's see if we can add that stability and let those schools grow and become the best they can be with good leadership. So that's something I hope to investigate and find out more about, Dwayne. Thanks.
And as a former reading person then in the district, then I'm pleased to hear you that you're really pleased with the reading program that's there, that is being.
I know they implemented it, and I'm very interested to find out how it's being supported and how the staff development is going with that, and feedback from the teachers, parents, and students on how they feel it's going.
Wonderful. Okay. And the same question, how's the district doing and what's ahead, John?
I would back up Julie on some of the things. I think the academies basically we started out as an experiment. Fortunately, I think it's going extremely well. I think we're seeing very, very good things out of the academies. As we set some pretty big goals in regards to how we're transforming the high schools, and so far things are going well. I think my school, my choice, is, I guess we'll know for sure next fall when we actually are rolling it out, and we actually are having all the students go to the schools. But so far the process on that has worked well.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what is this program, My School, My Choice?
Is basically what we're doing, it's a fairly major restructuring of the middle school system.
Okay.
And we are basically is what we've done is we've established three essentially area schools, which would be Gifford, Gerstad, and Mitchell. And so those are basically district, you know.
Yes.
If you live in that district, is you can send your child to one of those schools. And then the other schools would basically be lottery schools. Is we're transforming Gilmore into a fine arts school. Is McKinley, is we're going to be moving Walden into McKinley's building. And one thing that's excellent about that is that it's a larger building, so we'll actually be able to open more slots for students to attend Walden. But you know, we've had the discussion. Is I think one of the great things about Walden is that it's unique culture, and we have said very specifically is that whatever building it's in, is we're transporting the culture of Walden, you know, it will still be Walden.
Okay. Does anyone want to add anything more about My School, My Choice? Because that is a new development. Go ahead, Julie.
I just want to add the three districts that John was referring to, they're K-8.
Yes.
And that's their where they're assigned to the students. Like you said, Walden, McKinley IB program is moving to Starbuck. Fine Arts is now a K-8.
Okay.
And they're moving into
Gilmore.
Yeah. Yes.
And so it's been a lot of different opportunities, and the students or the parents got to choose their top choice or top three choices, and they're going through that now, which they're choosing. If they didn't choose, they go into their where they were assigned, and the 7th and 8th graders, or the 6th and 7th graders are there now. They get grandfathered in the school that they're in.
Okay. Well, one thing about it too is this is maybe forcing parents to think about what is it they want for their children, and forcing the children to think about what is it that I want for myself too. So rather than just kind of moving through the system like my kids did, you know, from Goodland to Starbuck to Case or Park, you know, they get some opportunities, some alternatives. Okay, let's move on to high school academies. How are they doing, and what needs to be done additionally? Jane, and I guess you start out that one.
That's one area that I would really like to get some data on.
Sure.
And how those academies are going. I believe we have 2 years in now. Mm-hmm. And what's the reaction of parents and students? How are they adapting to it? Are we having a lot of kids change their minds? Plus, I represent District 5, and we might have some concerns as far as meeting the needs of all of our students. Perhaps all of our students or some of our students may not see their academy zeroing in on the exact focus they want to do, whether it's the sciences or education even in the arts. Well, how are the academies going to prepare them for the college that they choose to get into? And I see that a lot with District 5, and I take that responsibility. So that's something I definitely want to look into.
Okay. Then John Heckenlively, you're next on that question on the academies.
Is part of the thing that I think that is good about the way the academies are structured is that basically freshman year is what I would more or less term a discovery year, is we start out the year by students going to a See Your Future Expo, where they actually get to meet people who are in with different occupations, and they can sit down and have conversations with them and find out, you know, what is it like to actually do this job. And those have been very, very successful as students come back and they'll say, you know, we found out about things, you know, possibilities that we didn't even know existed. And that's a big part of what freshman year is about, is providing students with the opportunities to see, okay, what, you know, what kind of possibilities are out there, and also what are you good at? Where do your skills lie at? What professions would you be a good fit for? And so that by the time that they get to the end of freshman year, is that they have a pretty good idea. Okay, this is what I want to do, and they can get into a specific program. I think, is it 22, Julie, that we currently have? 22 different programs.
Choices.
And choices in the academies. Okay. And it's a broad range. I mean, it's everything from, is we have a fairly extensive culinary arts program, is we have aviation at Horlick. We have a lot of technical programs.
And automotive.
One of the best automotive programs, certainly in the state, is Park has an outstanding automotive program, and so I think one thing that is great is that we are providing students with a very broad range of opportunities so that.
In terms of looking at the world of work.
In terms of looking at the world of work, sure.
Okay. Julie?
Yeah. I agree with John. I see a lot of excitement in the students.
Yes.
The students, they declare which academy they're going. They're very proud. They get declaration day. They have a lot of exposure. It's very exciting. We've seen an increase of businesses involved.
Ah, okay. So the community is getting more involved.
And the business community is a lot more involved. And like the Horlick, they have an airplane that somebody donated for them to work on.
Sure.
We've seen an increase, or I've seen an increase, of students choosing science classes.
Ah.
That we had to build on more science classes at Horlick, and it's a problem in Case. It's very exciting, and the engineering seems to be a very high, and so we're seeing students interested in classes that they were never before, or signing up that they were never before. And Park High School, beside what John had said, is there are small engines, and they also received a robotic arm.
Oh, really?
And I know that's been around that's been around for many years, but it's just very exciting that they have a lot more hands-on. And they have more opportunities to play with what they're learning. This is the second year we haven't had anybody graduate through it, but it's very exciting to see the students excited and applying themselves a lot more. And so I think, and we're also looked at nationally on what we've been doing, mm-hmm. and that's not been out in the news.
Okay, and what you're saying, there's more. It's more hands-on. It's more applied, and I that's one of the things that I really kind of like in terms of, because I think so much education has been knowledge, but no less application of knowledge. And what the old saying goes about, you know, when I do it, then I learn. Blah blah blah. Did you, Johnny, want to add to that?
Yeah, is that fits perfectly with where I'm going is. One thing that we are planning on right now is that next year, which would be junior year for the class of 2020, is students will have the opportunity, it's basically to shadow people, is they'll actually be able to go into a workplace and actually, you know, follow somebody who has that job, and so they can learn exactly what the career field that they are interested in entails on a daily basis.
Great. And one of the concerns I have, though, is the resources. Does Unified have the resources it needs? Now, it's getting resources from the business community and that sort of thing, but does it have the resources that it needs for these 22 areas? Any thoughts on that?
I wanted to add the resources have increased from the businesses.
Uh-huh.
So we one thing that we have is a donation from SC Johnson, and a lot of the businesses are stepping in and giving us a lot more resources in those areas.
But there may not be resources from somebody like SC Johnson for maybe something that's more mundane or whatever like that. So it is Racine Unified equipped to provide the resources? I think that's really going to be important as we move into the future.
Well, it's. I think it's like with any budgetary question, it's a matter of priorities.
Okay.
Is all budgets are a matter of what do you prioritize? And I think that to our credit is that the academies are one thing that we have made a high priority, it's always a question of do you have the resources, but it comes down to if you make it a priority, you'll figure out where the resources are.
Okay, well, and one of the things I want to remind all of you is, don't forget social studies, too, because we need good citizens to have great communities and that sort of thing. So, Julie?
That's taken care of from the state legislature. To graduate, they have to pass that test.
You do.
State requirements. And there's a citizenship test, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Let's move on then. And let me say that at this time, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Dwayne Olson, and you're listening to a special edition of Education Matters, in which I'm interviewing the three candidates for the District 4, 5, and 6 seats on the Racine Unified School Board in the April 3rd general election, which is exactly 1 month from today. They are Jane Brewer-Barbian, District 4, Julie McKenna.
Five.
Did I mess it up?
Yep, I'm 5.
You're 5, okay. Julie McKenna and John Heckin-Lively. Ms. McKenna and Mr. Heckin-Lively are incumbents. Let's move on to Foxconn, because that's kind of a big area. I was going to talk about security, but I think I want to talk about Foxconn, because that's a big issue here in our area of Wisconsin. How is Foxconn going to affect, or is it affecting, Racine Unified's curriculum? What needs to be done now curriculum-wise by RUSD, given that Foxconn is in our future? And John, I guess we're going to start with you on this one.
It actually is. I brought up this very issue at a board meeting not too long ago.
Wonderful.
And actually, the good news is we actually have an excellent answer to the question. We have already been communicating with Foxconn, finding out, exactly what type of jobs are you going to have in the factory and what type of skills are you going to need from your employees. And so we're in a position now as to where we can tell students, Foxconn is going to be opening up. And if you want to work there, you need to learn these skills.
Okay.
And one thing that I think is great is we are now going to have a focus on what's called Industry 4.0, which basically is machines essentially communicating with machines. But even with machines communicating with machines, you need people who know how the machines run.
Okay.
And so that's going to be a big part of training people for future jobs is people who have more complex thinking skills, more abstract skills, so that when things go wrong with the machines, and things always go wrong with machines,
right,
is that they know how to fix the machines and to get things back up and running. And so we're actually ahead of the curve and from a lot of places in the country in terms of we are focused on teaching students these more, you know, the high-tech skills that they're going to need to work at a place like Foxconn.
Okay, Julie Foxconn.
It's exciting. Racine Unified is working with Gateway and like the Real School, and students have opportunities to learn what they need to have. And with the academies, I forgot, is that they also get certificates in certain areas.
Okay.
And they also can apply some of the credits that they have for college.
Okay, moving on to Gateway Technical College or UW-Parks, Hoyt, or Carthage, right?
Right, and Foxconn does need the high end of the skill market as well, like the engineers. And so I think it's very exciting. We don't know on the money and how that's going to affect our finances per se. That's I'm not sure. It's exciting for the students, but so far we don't know how that's going to affect our state budget or state finances.
Okay, and I'm sure if Racine Unified is concerned about that, what about the rest of the school districts in the state of Wisconsin being concerned about how is Foxconn going to affect their budget? Jane, then, Foxconn.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear the new things coming into Unified to help prepare our students for Foxconn. I share your concerns with the state funding and how that's going to affect the district. It comes with a huge tax bill. As I look forward to seeing kids who are preparing for Foxconn or working at SC Johnson or working really anywhere in our community and being a valuable member of that workforce, I have to go back to just basic reading, writing, and basic math. And what are we doing with our elementary students to prepare them to be fluent readers, comprehensive writers, and understanding basic math? Because once they get to high school, it's too late. They won't be able to get into these engineering degrees and all of these other kinds of things. So let's focus also some of our resources on reading, writing, and basic math.
Okay, and social studies.
And social studies, of course,
and the arts.
Okay, I'm sure glad I'm the mentor for this program here. Okay, given that we're getting close to our time, I think we'll do closing statements, and if we have any time after that, then we'll get on to another little question or something. Julie, I guess you're the first person then to start with the closing statement, so go ahead, up to 1 minute.
Thank you again for inviting us to have this conversation, and I appreciate that we have this opportunity. I am in District 4. I'm running up for re-election. I'm not opposed, but I still encourage people to vote for me. I still need you to put the vote in for me to get on. And I believe in students must succeed, student achievement. I believe in keeping students safe. And I believe giving students skills and tools to succeed in the future. If you're in District 4, please remember to fill out the ballot for me. Thank you.
Okay. And Jane Barbian, then, your closing statement.
This is all new for me, so I'm going to hopefully do well on April 5th. And or is it April 3rd?
Third.
April 3rd. Thank you.
Right.
Add my expertise to the board. I hope that I also can get your vote and you fill in that ballot for me. I think it's worth taking a fresh look. Somebody new coming in and offering that fresh look. I have a lot of expertise, a lot of background in education. I'm definitely a team player and encourage the district to work as a team to resolve conflicts and issues that come up. And I'm a very proud supporter of Racine Unified, and I hope I earn your vote. Thank you.
Okay, and John Heckenlively.
Okay, well, I will close out with a pitch for just voting in general. Even though none of us have an opponent, is there are things on the ballot that are important on April 3rd, starting out with the Supreme Court race. The Supreme Court is going to make several important decisions regarding education in the near future, and so it does matter who's sitting on it. And, you know, is locally, is we have aldermanic races, we have county board races, and it does matter who sits in those positions.
And okay, so, and that's good citizenship.
Yes.
That's back good, to social studies.
Yes, as the social studies teacher, I'm promoting get out and vote, everybody.
Okay, and then we do have a little time left, so I want to do question number 16, and Jane, we'll start with you on four-year-old kindergarten. Jeff Neubauer recently had a commentary in the Journal Times advocating full-day kindergarten for four-year-olds. So what do you think, Jane?
You know, I have a grandson who has just spent his first year in four-year-old kindergarten, so I'm an expert on this now.
Yeah.
I also have certification in early childhood. I started my career in four-year-old kindergarten. I love four-year-old kindergarten. I think it's a way to close the achievement gaps between, especially with students who come from poverty background. There is so much children have to know today before they go into to kindergarten. I know with my own grandson, I'm making sure he knows all his letters and sounds. He's already starting to put letters together to make words. And, you know, 20, 30 years ago, that wasn't a piece. All-day kindergarten, our four-year-old program, is an option, I think, that we need to offer. Some parents will like it. Some parents will only want a half day. So I hope we can still offer that option as well.
Okay. And John Heckin Lively on four-year-old kindergarten.
I'm all for four-year-old kindergarten. It's, again, like you said, it's an issue of resources. I do want to give out a big shout-out to Jeff. Is Higher Expectations has done a lot of excellent, excellent work. I think they've been a very valuable partner with the district and have done a lot to help out students in Unified. Specifically, I'm hoping that we can figure out a way to find the resources to expand four-year-old kindergarten to full time, or to all day, because as Jane said, it is vitally important for reducing the achievement gap.
Okay, and Julie, briefly on four-year-old kindergarten.
I agree with what's been said so far. The four-year-old program has shown to be very, very successful, and the students are more prepared for kindergarten.
Okay, to our radio audience, this is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today for this edition of Education Matters, in which I interviewed the three candidates for Districts 4, 5, and 6 seats on the Racine Unified School Board. They are Jane Brewer-Barbian, Julie McKenna, and John Heckin Lively. The top vote getter for each district in the April 3rd election will take a seat on the Racine Unified School Board. To the candidates, I wish you the very best in your campaigns. Finally, tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for the next edition of Education Matters. This is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support comes from Jack Andrea, featuring Easter candy, new apparel, and garden accessories in its recently remodeled gift shop. Open Monday through Friday from 9 until 6 and Saturday from 9 until 5. For more, visit jackandrea.com. From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Racine Theatre Guild's Comedy Tonight series continues Saturday evening, March 17th, with headliners Pat McGann and Mike Mercury. For tickets, call 262-633-4218 or visit racinetheatre.org.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha Racine area, 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available via HD radio. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
Support comes from Andrea Ann Orendorf, certified public accountants, prepared to help clients navigate the newest tax laws, providing a full scope of small business services, tax planning, and preparation for all 50 states. A&O welcomes Spanish-speaking clients. Call 657-7716.
Support for WGTD comes from Carthage College, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. More information is available online at carthage.edu/grad.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Linda Fleshinsky, a